Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Yeah.
We're making this is going to be public. FYI.
Well, let's go in. I know that
yeah.
we had a lot of blowback with the blue aftermath. You know, you've been keeping me in the loop about that, how that all is going down on your side of things. And obviously, in addition to that, you've had other chapters. And I usually go on my tangents about women being women, but you're on the other end of that. Men being men or men being dogs. You know what I'm saying? Men being derogative name, you know, because it seems like you're having these epic failure adventures with these guys. So I wanted to get your feedback from, let's start off with that, with the feedback from the Blue Saga, putting that out there. What has been going on with that?
Well, I'll give you the dish on all of these little raggedy tails. Well, these folks, because I got to the point last night where I was like, okay, we're going to go back into our hole. We're not going to date anybody. Because people are crazy, and I'm so over. I just can't bring no new people into the fold at this point. My situation with my health and now my finances is so delicate that I just can't have people wasting my time, wasting my energy, disrespecting me. You know, I can't take that energy, like, at all. So in order to avoid that, because you can't vet people, you know, initially to make sure they're good people, it's just like, okay, team no new people. We got to go there for a little bit.
Yeah.
They all seem awesome when you first meet them.
Right. Exactly. The show is on. The acting is in full effect from the beginning. And that's where I always tell you, it's like a methodical breakdown you got to have with people. And you hate that because you obviously don't want to go through that process. You just want to, you know, expedite this and move on and lock in with someone, right? So it's hard for us to slow down and just take it day by day, especially when you feel there's so many options out there and people ready for what you're ready for. And I think that if you're able to slow down and say, hey, you know what? I need to take my time with this, man. You know, and I know I mentioned that to you before. Like, I just feel the same as relationships. You know, like my best friend that I talked to, I didn't hit it off the bat with him. You know, people that were close to me, I didn't hit it off the bat with them. It took time. It took mutual effort and communication. So, and that's no different in dating, in my opinion. So, I want to hear about the blue, man. I want to hear what's that dialogue been like with him ever since we've had our blow up about that situation. What's been the aftermath? What are some of the events? I wanted to get some of this on the record.
Well, you were there for the aftermath. You know, you saw how he called me all these names. And, you know, he had your typical reaction, I guess.
Yeah.
When someone offends you or pisses you off, you start going in, you know. He only heard the sides of things that were hurtful to him. He didn't take it in at the full. I think piece of work. Listening to the narrative, he just listened to stuff he don't like. And he went off on me, and then he threatened to go off in the comment section of YouTube, and I said, go ahead. And then he was like, I'm not going to join your service. I'm like, okay. And then he's going off on me, but I would go off. I said, you want to call me names? Call me names. You want to cuss me out? Go ahead. Be your raw, true self, because I got to be my raw, true self.
Right.
So I think as the days went by, we would talk, but he would find a way to segue in a fight about the podcast. And it was happening like every day. Every day. I'm so immature. I'm such a bitter black woman.
Goodness.
And, I'm a racist. I'm slanderous.
A me racist.
Co-host. Oh, yeah. Me and my co-host stay in our lane. We all of our viewers and listeners probably are also bitter ass black women who don't know how to stay in their lane. Your co-host is bipolar. You're fucking crazy.
Yes, yes.
I'm just like, okay.
Yes.
You mad or not?
Yeah.
Like, I would do that. Like,
yeah, what else? What else? You tell me how you're really feeling. And, you know, I do agree with him. I do have bipolar tendencies. So So he called me out on that one. Thank you. Well, I think it sounded like to me that what he's doing, and I just was recently chatting with you about. He was deflecting, obviously. He's deflecting about that whole experience and turning the tables, because it seems to me that that's always the way he's been with you. Like, he's always turned the tables at a situation and never fully explaining himself. It seemed like he's always twisting it back on you, the onus, whatever it is, okay?
Accountability. Right. None whatsoever.
Right.
Now, he did apologize to me.
Yay.
I put that on the record.
Yay.
He apologized to me for not coming to the hospital. He did that in person, because remember, we did the podcast on a Saturday. I saw him in person on Sunday.
Right.
So we had a conversation. He did apologize for leaving me hanging in the hospital.
Look at that.
And not coming in person. And he said that was wrong. Just this morning, he said he called me bitter via text message about another situation. And I checked him right away. Like, don't call me bitter. Don't call me bitter. This is what, let me tell you what bitter is. I have a big heart. It hurts very easily. I don't need to touch fire six times. No, it burns. I only got to touch it one or two times and I'm done. That's not being bitter. That's being called wiser.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm sorry.
Now,
so,
let me ask you this, because I think that his stance now, right, I think part of it is damage control. I think when we talked about his situation and how it's implying that he's playing both sides of the field, if that makes any sense, meaning that there's other people that he's talking to, that he's giving one story to, and then he's giving you another, right? So,
yeah, I think he made it clear when we talked in person. He said, there are many.
Mm.
And I said, okay, that means, and then he said, I really want to be your friend. This is before you heard the podcast. This is crazy. We talked before I sent him the link. We had the face-to-face conversation that I've been begging for.
Right.
When I already did the podcast. And he said, I really would like to be your friend and give you like the 90%, like everything. But I don't think I can handle that. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Well,
I mean, like, you're so used to manipulating people, you don't know how to be a real person.
I think people.
He doesn't believe he's manipulating, though. He doesn't take that. He rejects that altogether. He's not manipulating. Defend yourself then. Write an email, do a podcast, do a rebuttal, write in the comments. I'm not going to be listening to you go off on me about how you feel,
sure,
about how I feel.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Let me have it. I was going to say that, do you feel he's been consistent in his words, in the message that he conveys? Do you think he has been consistent, or is he vague? I mean, it sounds like he's very vague. He leaves things open-ended when he talks, right? Like, he'll say something
he's ambiguous.
Right. Like, he'll leave it up to you to interpret what it means. Like, he's not going to elaborate or give you something specific in detail. He's just going to give you something that's ambiguous, open-ended. And then if you go one way, he can go another way. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay.
Right. He leaves himself a way out. It's like saying, here's a cake with cheese. And you're like, is it a cheesecake? It's a cake with cheese.
Right.
So treat it like a cheesecake if you want.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right.
Like, I have a cheesecake. Then, no, it's not a cheesecake. It's a cake with cheese. And then you'll be like, oh, I have a cake with cheese. And he'll be like, isn't that a cheesecake? Why would you call it a cake with cheese? It's a cheesecake. Like, he just makes it so that no matter which way you choose, you're going to look stupid.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be able to flip it on you and get out.
Yeah. My question to somebody like that is talking along those lines. If you really cared about that person on the other end, would you leave room for doubt or for confusion? Or would you want that person that you care for to have an absolute answer? Just in general. I mean, let's just talk about you talking to anybody that you care about, and especially in a relationship setting, right? When you love someone or care about someone, right? I mean, are you going to speak in a term that is going to confuse them? Or are you going to be very clear and precise about it? And to me, it sounds like he leaves a lot of things to the interpretation of the listener. And he's not, just like how I am very concrete and very clear with you about how I'll talk to you, about my thoughts, it doesn't sound like he does that. And then when you, like you say, you catch him in a corner, then he's able to interpret it and move to the other one. Like, he's very much like Floyd Mayweather in the defense game. you can't get him with a punch, because he's that good and shifty with his moves. And
oh my gosh, that's crazy you said that. My aunt, did I ever tell you that I sent a picture to my aunt in Texas?
Mm-mm.
And she said, I like him. He's cute. He looks like he's one of us. He looks like he will be good in our family. But something about his eyes. She said, he's shifty.
Mm.
It's like you can't trust him because he's, she kept using the word shifty and hiding. So he's hiding something.
Yeah.
He said, oh, shit. Sorry. But that's what she told me on the phone. And she was like, I don't have to talk to him.
Yeah.
To tell you to not get involved with him too deep unless he's willing to let that go. Because what he is right now is a character that will never show you a transparent,
yeah,
you know, glass of water.
Right.
You could just look through and see what you know. He's not going to get that.
Yeah. No, that sounds like it. And I would say,
and maybe he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he cannot. I wonder what kind of trauma he had.
I'll tell you, there are some people that I've run into, okay, and this is going to be bad, but I've run into people that maybe I wasn't as attracted or I saw something long-term with them, okay? But they gave me this desire of them wanting me. They wanted me, and I enjoyed that attention as a man, right? And I enjoyed that attention and the fact that they were willing to work with me on my parameters. But I knew in my head they were not long-term material. This was not the one, or I didn't feel that vibe of it happening. But I wasn't ready to let them go either. So what I would do is I would just leave stuff open-ended. Or I would, you know, I wouldn't commit or give them hope of more happening, because I didn't want to say that concretely, because then I would put myself in a deeper hole. So a lot of times I would just say things, well, that's great, you know, if the opportunity presents itself. Does that make sense? Like, I would say things that were not absolute in the answer, because I didn't want to commit to those words that I said. You know, when they were talking about a relationship or wanting to do something or being long term or wanting to see my daughter, you know, I'll be like, well, we'll get there. We'll see what happens. Does that make sense? Like, I would not say anything to push it along where I knew this person felt differently, you know, and then I eventually had to cut it off because that pressure was coming, you know, but it got too much to where I had to be real. You know, I didn't keep them twisting in the wind, but I talk about those mechanisms blue because I've done them, and I know that men have done them. It's not unusual to be that way to someone that you don't want to hitch your wagon to. Does that make sense? So it part of it feels that way, because if you care about somebody and if you want to be with them, you make it clear cut. It's like, look, I want to be with you. Let's get this show on the road. And I know we talked about that before, that he may have had a change of heart and he never displayed that. And that's where, if he wants to have a chair and go rant and say how it's bad, you know, my thing, hey, the door's open. I mean, but why would he want to put himself to such scrutiny of trying to explain his actions? Because that's the problem with him. It's not that he may have a justification, but guess what? You never convey that to pineapples. You never did. So if you had these explanations for your behaviors and the things that you did and didn't do, why did you not address them at those times when they were being asked to be addressed? Why does it have to be to a point where we're putting stuff on the internet for you to, you know, perk your ears up and, okay, I gotta clear this thing up. And now you're doing damage control. In my opinion, he's doing damage control because there's another situation that he has going on that doesn't he doesn't want that person to get a whiff of it. And because, you know, that's going to open a whole can of worms, because I'm sure he's been feeding that person another situation. I'm sure they're painting you as an angry black woman. They're painting you as the crazy psycho, and he's going to give those events that were more of you being reactive, right? That you were being reactive of how you were being treated, but he's going to paint those in a manner where you're being proactive. You were the one being the antagonist. Does that make sense? And that other person, of course, they're going to be Team Blue, so they're going to believe whatever he says, right? And and thus, there goes the, and he's able to kind of massage that. But the moment any of this stuff gets out from the other side and you're talking to a bipolar host, you know, someone that's logical is going to hear some things and say, hey, you know, all right, you know, there may be some truth to that. I need to ask Blue some questions. So Blue's not trying to go there. He's not trying to go there at all.
No, he ain't trying to get a confrontation with nobody.
Right.
And like I told, I just talked to Easy, and I told Easy, I said, I'm interested in two things with him, though. I'm interested in a confrontation or a confession. I was like, now, the door for us is slightly closed. I said, it's only cracked because I am interested. If he would be willing to do one of those two things, I'd meet him there. I'd meet him for a confession. I'd meet him in the park for a knife fight. I mean, I seriously would.
Yeah.
I was like, we can go at it. If you want to do a confrontation, like no hold back, go in, I'll do that. I will do it. I said, because at least, at the very least, you're going to give me real. You're not going to be able to have no choice. Because
right.
The confrontation is that. That's what it is. You're there to confront. You're there to hash it out. And usually, there's no rule. It's all, everything I know about you, I can use. Everything you know about me, you can use. We're fighting at this point, and that's, I'll be willing to fight. Only because he frustrates me,
yeah.
Spending so much time, like you said, massaging things and
right.
Tethering things and keeping people, like even now, we're in contact. He may just be massaging me to make sure I don't pop off. Like,
right.
Let me make sure she's okay. Let me make sure she's not angry today or whatever, because she could pop off, you know? And it's not even about that. It's like, wait. You got a problem with me, I got a problem with you. You know what the problem is. So if you gonna fess up and be like, all right, I played you. Like, I would respect you more if you would just come clean. Or you gonna confront me about all the stuff that bothers you about me, and I can confront you about all the stuff that bothers me about you. And it's gonna be petty and ugly, but it'll be real.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for that closure one way or the other, or you're looking for of accountability of what has happened. And I just don't think he's that kind of guy. I think he's already, you know, dodging in a room full of vultures, like Jay-Z would say. I think he's like, you know, like he's dodging and shifty. He's just, I don't know. You can't pin him. It's going to be very hard for me to see him saying, you know what, Michelle, this is what really happened. I was, you know, talking to you. You know, I was talking to other friends, quote unquote. We hung out. We had a great time. You know, in a combination of you going off on me with me meeting someone else led me to shift my attention somewhere else. And that's kind of how I became the way I was with you for those last few months. And I just want to go out and apologize and just tell you, you know, that was wrong of me. And, you know, I definitely want to move forward. You know, I don't know, how do you feel? You know, like, I don't see him going down that route. You know, he's already having a problem with being aired out the way it was beforehand. So now, you know, what he already made his claim as to which side he's on. You feel me? Like, he's already on that, you know, I'm innocent. You know, where's the proof? Where's the proof? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just like, OJ, not guilty. You know what I'm saying? 100% not guilty. And that dude is just something that people in the dynamic of relationships, they run away from because they play games. They're manipulative. And that's the way a lot of guys are. They just tell you what you want to hear. They put on that show. And it sounds like you've been getting a lot of that show as well, not just with Blue, but with other people as well, where it's a matter of time and boom, you know, they start being shifty and they start being shady and they start disappearing and ghosting. And it's a continuous thing when you meet new people because you don't know what you're getting. And it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, we talked, me and Easy talked about just the men being so broken. She said there's another word for fuck boys we should be using. And I said, what you mean? And she said, it's not about they fuck boys because they just like want to fuck and that's it. She said, they're fuck boys because they're fucked up on the inside. Something about something that happened to them, either as kids or adults or whatever, turned them into like this human that can hurt other humans intimately and not feel shit.
Okay.
Like, all the guys, the new guys, like, even though, yes, the door with Blue is cracked. So what? The door with my ex-husband is also cracked. I've been in it every so often to make sure he's alive, he's okay. But we don't talk. The door with Blue is cracked slightly because I just have to keep interacting with him for different reasons. And I don't want it to be awkward and uncomfortable. I'm not coming for him. This is personal. I don't want to ever fade over to the business or professional interactions that we have. Never, you know. And I don't want him to feel like he has to watch his back around me because I'm crazy. I don't want to feel like I got to watch my back around him. I don't feel that. But even like with these other guys that I started walking down the hall, opening new doors, like, you know, door number one, door number two, I'm realizing, like, oh my gosh, the level of disrespect for people in general is just really scary. Like, I was talking to, remember the last podcast I said there's someone new coming into the picture?
Yeah.
I was talking to him for 3 months, and he straight played me the first time we ever met. I went to his hotel. He told me that he was tired, jet lagged. I was like, it's cool, let's just meet. And he was like, I have a conference. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I can stick around like he now, mind you, he don't from here. But he doesn't realize my doggone house is an hour and a half drive from Waikiki.
Yikes.
So I'm like, I'm down far from where I live, but this is like the time I have available to meet you. And then he was telling, he's just full of shit. That's all I can say. He's a full of shit nigga. He really
is. Right.
That's all I can say. Like, he said he had a conference. I was like, well, keep me posted. We can go get something to eat. He was like, I just ate. I'm not going to be hungry. So I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody who you've been talking to for 3 months that you cool with, even if you just ate, why would you turn down eating again in a couple of hours? Like, what the hell? You're on vacation until you start work. Like, it was weird that he was just like, I just ate. I'm like, I have just eaten and gone right into another eating venue to meet other people. I just don't eat. I get, like, water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the company that you're going for, not the food.
Right.
So I was just like, I thought it was weird. Then this nigga's going to post a live Facebook video of him having dinner, maybe like 2 hours later, with a woman on the beach listening to Hawaiian music.
Yeah, he played himself. But let me ask you.
This is the life. This is the life. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And you have about 3 months wasted energy on a person that just had multiple options going. And I think that's the thing that we have to sit here and analyze real quick, because the reason guys are that way, okay, like, that's the reason why I can't be that way, but I choose not to, and I'm not going to. It's just too many headaches. I keep repeating myself, but it's the reason why people do that is because it gets results. It does. And that's the sad thing about it, to think that people can be manipulative, can be shady, can be that way, meaning I'm describing how men can be, and get results. And we get results with women being that way. That's the part about it, that if you look at all these situations that we know of people, the guy's being shifty, he's being coy, he's being inconsistent, he's just exuding different behaviors and actions. And it's something that they do, you know, a lot, because, and I think a lot of it has to do with them hoarding and keeping as many women in that phone book as possible until they find the one. You know, I think that they go through like a wheelhouse of people, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. They play around with those girls. Once they get tired of it, if they don't feel there's nothing else that's going to go further, then, you know, they'll bench someone and try to bring somebody new into the fray, you know, or someone else comes along that they weren't expecting, and then they have to manage that free time, and then someone has to...
But my thing is, what is wrong with them? Why they just can't keep it real? Do you know how many women are down for shit like that? Like, they don't care? I would not assume he's moving to Hawaii and on a dating app and wasn't collecting women. You know what I'm saying? Like, I assume that he's collecting women. My thing is, we've been talking consistently, FaceTiming, chatting, sending pictures back and forth, listening to his business, you know, conferences via phone. We've been talking consistently. Okay.
Yeah.
And we will video chat me while he's on the phone, on the car. So my thing is, why, you know, you're putting in time and effort too. When you arrive here and you're able to interact with me as a human being, just carve out time at some point. You ain't got to play me to the left. Just give me my time too. Because we connected. He could have easily told me, I got a date this evening and I'm not available. Or he could just said, I'm not available this evening. If I would have saw that video, I still would have been like, oh, damn, he wasn't available because he had a date. Damn, right? But
yeah.
Tell me you have a teleconference, tell me that you're jet lagged. You know, then you forget you mentioned earlier that you was looking to go out to a party. And I looked up parties for him. And then when I suggested one for a Thursday night or Wednesday night, he was like, oh, I'm jet lagged, not tonight. I was like, if this dude puts up pictures that he went to this doggone club, I'm going to block him. Like, you know, because I feel like now you're just using my resources to take other women out to impress them because you don't know this place. So you keep hitting me up, asking me questions about what to do because you're not from here and you know that I am.
Right. So the way he was then, he just used you as a local connection to find where to meet people and to hang out and to connect with other girls in the area. And I'm going to give you a guy perspective on that view as far as you saying that why they're not keeping it real. I'm just going to give you me, Exhibit A. I'm a guy, straight shooter. This is where you're not going to be a high priority in my list. You know, but if I have free time, I would love to meet, hang out, date. And if we have more, I would like to just have sex. I would like to have a fuck buddy, a friends with benefits. That'd be great. No headaches. Just, hey, Saturday night's open. You want to go to dinner and then go back and fuck? Cool. And I'm not, you're not bothering me every day. You're not trying to blow up my phone. I've been on my own now for 4 years and... 4 years and three, no, 2 months. So over 4 years I've been pineapples. And there's not women like that. Like I can't tell a woman that I find attractive and say, you know what, I just want to fuck. They just don't, you think they are, maybe within, like between women and women talk, but women don't like to feel objectified. Women don't like to feel like you're just a piece of ass. That's the problem that men have when we just want to go down that route, okay? Like when we just want to go to Hawaii and just slay girls left and right, it doesn't work that way, you know, because women are not, you say, you're not, I'm not going to be your piece of ass, you know? It's like, and it's just kind of a self-conscious thing, and I get that. So,
but you're still going to be a piece of ass. It's either going to be that you're aware of it on the front end or the back end.
Right, exactly. And that's what the guys like Blue, like the visitor, let's call him MLM from, you know, MLM, you know, they understand that. Like we, those kind of guys.
We're calling them MLM.
Yes, we call them MLM.
I got it. That's a good one.
All right. You were a little late there. You were a little late there. Yeah, I'm okay, man. That's what I'm good for. I'm good for something. But for real, though, that's kind of where it's like men are just not – I just can't go to a girl, and I always say this to girls all the time. Just walk around, go to a nightclub, go to a bar, and just say, hey, just run up to 10 guys and just say, hey, man, I just want to fuck. I just want to, you know, give you head or whatever. You will have one of those guys that you pick go with you, no problems asked. I can't do that. Like, I will get slapped. I will get beat up. I will get kicked out of a club. I can't, because the genders don't interact that way. You know, like, you just can't be objectifying women to that level. So men realize that you have to kind of be coy. You have to be mysterious. You have to leave stuff open-ended so that there isn't any hope or that there isn't any feeling of you feeling like an object. And then what happens is once they have sex, then they start acting funny, you know, or if they don't feel they're going to get it, it's just a really weird dynamic, you know, and then you multiply that by four or five girls because they're talking. They're playing the numbers game. And then see what sticks. And, you know, and then after they have sex, they figure it out. But, you know, I that's just a general thought of mine. Obviously, you already know from your experiences that men have different needs and many desires as well. But I just feel that when I hear those type of words and actions from men, when you're going out and he's setting 3 months up with you and you would think that he would make time with you, MLM, and he didn't, and then he's making excuses, and then he's posting stuff on social media. Again, you guys got to get it together, man. Like, you can't be playing the game and putting yourself on blast on social media. It's not
he hit me up this morning talking about good morning.
Right.
So I'm like, these niggas don't even know what they're doing wrong. Like,
no, they don't.
Then if I address this with him, I'm going to be the insecure black bitch, don't understand my role, like Blue said, I can't stand my lane. What you don't realize is that it has nothing to do with you dating a woman that night. I went on a date the next night. Like, seriously, I'm playing rotation too. So I don't care if you go out with a woman and fuck her. What does that got to do with me? You are single and I am single. I am only concerned with the connection that we have. And now that you're here on the island, my expectation is that we will continue our connection and possibly grow our connection. Now, our connection does not necessarily mean relationship. I'm not walking into this like I'm going to make you my man. I'm going to make you my husband. No, I'm like, we have a connection. It's pretty healthy. Let's keep it going. Oh, and now you're in my time zone. Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
You can date, fuck, do whatever you want because that has nothing to do with me. I am single. You are single. My issue is the lying and manipulation and the sneaky. You don't have to do that. With a real woman, you don't have to do that.
Right. I get it from you, and I think...
You just don't.
Yeah.
And stop manipulating these fucking women.
Right.
Sleep with you, because at the end of the day, they're still a piece of ass. It's just that this piece of ass didn't know they was going to the slaughter and how. And the other piece of ass knew they was going to the slaughter
Absolutely.
And how. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's the unfortunate thing. And what happens, I think, is that guys get results off playing that manipulative game that started, you know, in the 20s, you know, with the young, you know, it just something that was started at an early stage, and it's something that just kept going, and you keep getting results, and that's just the way you become. And it's hard for them to change that mindset in a lot of ways, because once something gets you results, it's hard to stray away from it. It's hard. Like, I feel that I'm doing something that's never, you know, I'm like, fuck that. Like, I know I can get ass. I know I can get women, but man, I'm not going to manipulate a woman into thinking there's something more going to happen. You know, I'm not going, you know, and what happens is that when you're so straight up and honest with them about, look, this is where you stand with me. This is where my life is, and this is what's going on. So they just run away because women have a lot of options. Women have other men that are lying to them. You see it from that angle? Like, the men, because they're thinking, that woman is thinking, okay, this is definitely not what I'm signing up for, you know, because I know there's other men out there that don't think like he does. But they probably do, but they're masquerading differently. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, like, they're just like, they're going to take him to the slaughterhouse, but they don't know they're being taken to the slaughterhouse. You feel me? And that's the thing that is very prevalent out there, is that the smoke and mirrors is real. So I come honest. Like, you get the honesty from me up front. You know, you're not going to get somebody different 6 months from now. You know, you're going to get the same guy. And the difference is that the guy that you're meeting, that other guy that is probably more appealing and is saying more of the things that you're conditioned to hearing, that guy is going to turn out to be different in 6 months and 3 months, because once you develop that connection and he's getting asked and he's able to deduce what he wants from you. So what you've been getting is a lot of that, you know, and I think any guy out there that plays those games, those open-ended comments, inconsistent actions that are not indicative of you exuding love, because love is an action, okay? At the end of the day, when you love someone, it's an action. It's a feeling you have, thus, that allows you to do things for them, you know, unconditionally. And I feel that when you love someone, it's something that you do. I could tell you I love you a thousand times, right? But, I mean, what am I doing to nurture that love, to nurture that power of feeling that I have for you? Am I treating you with respect like you want to be treated? Am I saying the things that you want me to say? What actions am I doing? Am I taking care of you? Am I doing the things that you would expect out of a man that loves you to do? You understand? So that's where I'm, like, always asking people to judge a guy by his actions, because those are the true tells. You know, if someone's really into you and really loves you, they're gonna make the effort. They're gonna find a way. You know, they're not just going to be, well, you know, I'm at work all the time. You know, because if they had time for you in the beginning, and then all of a sudden after you had sex, he's just kind of running off to work and being quote unquote busy. You know, that's his way of saying that, you know, he already tasted the goods and he's going to get at you when he can. He's not stressing you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're part of the wheelhouse of the girls that he's talking to. Maybe he's talking to another one. But, you know, he's not going to make that full commitment like he did in the beginning, you know. And that's what you always have to be mindful about, man. Because, guys, man, when it comes to that, especially if they're single, it's like you have to assume that they're talking to other people. Like, you just, no matter what the fuck they're saying, it's like, yo, you got a girlfriend? No, I don't. But I'm talking to, you know, four or five different girls now, you know. I maybe fucked one here and there. Yeah, you have, and it sucks because as a woman, you have to be filtering through that. Like, you have to be more of vetting that person and that resume and what they're saying.
But that crazy thing is, as a woman, I bring that to them. So that I'm like, look, this is what I'm doing. So if you're doing that, hey, don't feel bad. Like, you can bring it to the table, because I believe me, after MLM pissed me off, I met a new doc. I went on a date the very next day. This dude was all trying to tell me his sob story about how he ended up in Hawaii. We're going to name him Travis. We're naming him Travis because he's from Memphis, and we went to a Japanese restaurant, and he could not read the menu and didn't know how to use chopsticks, and was like, everything on the table, I was like, try this. He was like, why is the rice sticky? I'm like, because it's sticky rice. I mean, I said, what do you eat normally? Like, okra, meatloaf. I'm like, okay, Hawaii is a different world for you. But he's starting over his life, according to him. He's starting over. So he's open to try things. He's just leery, right? So I named him Travis. He gave me his whole, we talk, smoke out, everything in the car. And we're like, oh, okay, you cool people, right?
Right.
And we were talking about relationships and outer space shit, and I'm like, oh, okay. And he's just like, I never really sat up and met a woman that talk about stuff, you know? And we was vibing and went to the restaurant, and he didn't eat much because he didn't really know what he was looking at, but he tried a lot of things, and I gave him points for trying. and we talked about the podcast series. We talked about kind of what I do, kind of what he does. I asked him about his previous relationship. Can he share some more about, you know, how it dissolved, and is he co-parenting for the child, and what's his plan to co-parent in Hawaii? Mm-hmm. You got physical custody. You got joint legal custody. Like, I was like, we getting all this shit out on the first meet and greet, because I'm not about to be finding out 2 weeks, 3 months later, your baby mama lives in their room, and nope, mm-hmm. we're going to have a discussion right now. Because if it changes, I'm going to bring you right back to this day and be like, on this day you said this. You know, so.
Hold people accountable.
A bunch of questions.
No, that's good. No, so you're holding people accountable. That's good.
Yeah. But he seemed real comfortable answering the questions. Oh, he was cool.
Right.
He was cool. He was like, no, this is what happened. I got hurt. I got cheated on. It was a hard decision. But I decided I want to go as far away as possible from everything. And I want my daughter. I have joint legal. So she'll be living here once I get a place. And I was like, okay. And he was like, but I just want to start over. I've been in a relationship. That was my life. And I want to start over and just start over. And I was like, okay. So I was going to call him start over. But no, try this better. And then he was saying how, you know, explaining his job and how they relocated him, how he got, you know, so we had conversation. We did not talk about dating necessarily. However, I told him that dating in Hawaii kind of sucks and blah, blah, blah. We talked a little bit. And I told him, I was like, I'm dating a couple of guys. And he was like, kind of uncomfortable with that. And I'm like,
right.
Why? He was like, well,
right.
How is it that you dated multiple guys? Like, how many guys you talk? I said, maybe like four. He was like, wow,
yep.
It's like that? And I was like, yes, it is, yep. Like that. I, yep. Was like, I'm single and they're single. Until somebody steps up and has a conversation with me about being in a exclusive relationship with a commitment, until those kind of words come up and we have a conversation about what that looks like and I agree to the term, I am single. They're single. I can do whatever I want to do.
All right. So you're on the opposite end of that. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. You're on the opposite end of that. And what I mean by that is that you're being honest and doing something that they're not used to hearing. Lo and behold, just like the way I am, they're not used to hearing a guy be upfront and letting them know, like a woman, it's like, hey, I like you, but you're not a top priority. I'm not going to be chasing you. I'm not going to be courting you head over heels. Good luck with that with the other guys, right? So the women just like run for the hills because it's like, fuck that. I'm number one. If you don't give it to me, there's other guys out there, right? I mean, that's the mindset. So on your end, you're like, guys don't want to hear that a girl is doing that. Like, they don't want to hear it coming from their mouth. It's like they have this ignorance is bliss mindset. Like, they have this mentality that, you know, you just fucking with me. They want to feel like that girl, that pineapples that they're talking to, that you're the only guy that they're talking to. Like, so in his head, and a lot of guys, just when they're talking to a girl, they want to feel like, hey, you know what? That girl, Lisa or Pamela, whatever girl I'm talking to, she doesn't have a man. Okay, cool. So she's talking to me. And then that's when a lot of guys, their mindset kicks in of putting in that work. So they start text messaging. They start calling. They start putting in that work. Does that make sense? Because they're trying to put it in their head with that girl that, you know, hey, this, we're trying to go all in here. You know, we're trying to make this happen. But you're like on the opposite end of that, where they're not used to a girl saying, yeah, you know, like I'm doing my thing until someone officially claims me. Because men get really insecure about that. Men be like, so how many guys you fuck? Like, you know, it's like.
My thing is, women are doing it anyway. They're just not telling men. They're also
right.
Leading them into the spot.
Correct.
Of house. And if the man finds out she got two or three suitors, he be face broken, talking about bitches ain't shit, you hoes ain't shit.
Right.
Be all on social media crying.
Right.
Because he don't. Let's just keep it real.
Right.
Let's just keep it real.
Yeah.
I say, when you meet somebody, you better assume there's five people already in their life.
Right.
One, somebody that they fucking. Two, somebody that they like. Three, somebody that likes. Yeah. Four, the ex. Five, the children. Just assume.
Yeah.
At 35, 40, assume you meet a new person, stranger. Those five people are already in place.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, definitely. You definitely have a plethora or stable, and that's what I was telling you about. And I think that men, but they're uncomfortable with hearing that, though. I think men are uncomfortable with having a girl that they're talking to saying, hey, I'm going to go on a date tomorrow. After I see you, I'm going to see another guy and another guy and another guy. They're uncomfortable with that. You know, and that's why
I fucking will.
Right.
Guys are fucking disgusting. Don't see three women in the same night and
right.
try to fuck all three of them.
Right. Exactly. Right. But men, but this is such a double standard. And that's what I, and that's the part that you're understanding. It's like, it's fucked up the way it goes, but it's just the landscape of how it is because of societal pressures, because of the stigma with how things are being done. And again, it's just about women not feeling, women are not wanting to be objectified and men want their ego stroked when it comes to the chase, when it comes to courting someone. You know, they don't want to feel like, okay, they're competing against someone else, but dumbass, the reason you get ghosted is because she was already talking to someone else, you know, and she benched your ass, and then she comes back 3 months later, 4 months later, and then she's like reaching out again, like, what's up, what's going on, like nothing happened. You know, it's the same thing happens with me all the time, where I had a girl where we went out talking, hanging out, went on a lunch date, talked. And all of a sudden, she disappeared. And it was like 2 years later, she reaches out to me again out of the blue. Hey, how you doing? Just being totally friendly again. I'm like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And she went ahead and apologized. And I gave her credit for that because she said, you know what? I did you dirty. I stopped communicating with you. I was just I got into a situation with someone. And I was like, you know what? Kudos to you. But I'm not giving you that shot again. That's a one and done deal. You know, that's how I operate anyway. Like if I'm talking to you and you ghost me or you bench me and you're not a grown up about it from the get go, I'm not gonna mess with you. I've had that happen to me one time. Was that I only had one person where they were talking to someone else and they let me know right then and there. When that change of heart happened, they went ahead and told me. They said, okay, you know, they said, Minnow, I just wanted to let you know. I just started talking to someone else, and I'm going to focus my attention on that person. So not, you know, I'm going to slow things down with you, but I'm going to focus on them. They came back to me like 3 months later, okay, and they started talking to me. And I told that person, I said, you know what? The only reason I'm talking to you, and I've never done this, was because you had the respect to tell me at that time when you had a change of heart, to let me know. But that lady was like, she was like 49, you know, almost 50. You see what I'm saying? Older woman. So you don't get that type of feedback, man. You don't get that type of honesty and security from a person. You know, it runs amok as far as how men are manipulative and how women are, you know, having to be coy about their, you know, stuff that's going on in the background. And you know what, another thing with women, Pineapples, is that what happens is that when they have a change of heart and they don't talk to a guy, you know, those guys are ugly with it, man. They get so sensitive about being rejected. And that's what it comes down to with the men is having that ego. They want to feel like you're the only one they're talking to. But even though on their side, they're talking to like four or five people, and they're courting all these people, but for each individual conquest that they're working on, they want to feel like they're going to give that impression that, hey, they're the only one. It's very rare that you have a guy and a girl come up to each other and say, hey, you know what? Let's just fucking have fun. The only people that do that, I mean, it's going to sound bad. It's like married people that are cheating on each other, you know, and those people are like, they know what it is. It's like, you know, we're fucking around on each other. I mean, that's maybe a bad example there, but I'm just saying that the honesty doesn't happen in the basic stage of dating out there in the world, and that's why I told you about me talking to people in open relationships and open marriages, because that dialogue is there. Like that veil is, okay, so what are we talking about here? You know, so there is no hidden agenda. There is nothing that people are hiding. We already know what it is, but that mindset of people being open-minded is not prevalent in the dating scene. It isn't. And that's the part that you're always going to run into frustrations with when you're running into a new person, because you just don't know what their true intentions are. No matter what they tell you, you have to wait until they have like a sample size of their actions that match their words. So with Blue, his words were, as we circling back to Blue, his words were matching his actions in the beginning. And then at some point, he said, you know what? I'm not feeling this anymore. Or someone else came on the scene that he caught more feelings for. And he shifted his attention to that. But he wanted to keep you in the stable. You know, he wanted to keep you in there in some way, shape, or form. And that's what happened. And then when the blow up happened, then he shifted you again. And he can go ahead and say whatever he wants to say. You know, at the end, his actions are the true tell. Because if he care for you, you will not be trying to not talk in person. If you care for, you know, it's like she was avoiding communication only through text. And yeah, you may have blown up on him. You may have been crazy, quote unquote. But guess what? You were still staying in touch with the girl. You were still telling her you love her. You were still leading her on and saying that you were going to do certain things that you never came through and did. So how can you defend that? Like that's kind of where, you know, my bipolar mind kicks in. And I'm saying to myself, yo, like, where's your consistency with all of this? Because obviously you're being consistent about being inconsistent to Pineapples. That's the way I see it. You know, and all these things that you would tell me. I was like, okay, so this dude's telling you I love you 1,000 times, right? Like, he wants to work. He can't wait for you to get back. And here you have him, you know, you needing his help. He knows your condition. He knows what's going on. And he's disappearing. And I'm like, yo, like, if you love someone, why are you not there? Why are you not putting that differences aside and just at least talk to them on a cordial level? You know, be respectful to them. And but that's how a lot of guys are in the game, you know, and it's frustrating for ladies like you and ladies like Easy that are very secure with who you are. You're very articulate. You're very deep, right? And you understand that there's a difference in motives, and you understand that there is agendas, you know, true agendas, you know, that not all men want to be married, that not all men. And you will be much better dealing with a man that's very upfront about his intentions, and then you decide whether you want to go forward or not. That's the problem that we have. We don't have that transparency, you know, in dating. So in your role as a woman in the dating world is that you have to filter out, you have to vet, you have to make sure that guy says who he is. You feel me? Like, you have to make sure that when try that or try this comes again, you know, it's like, okay, we got to make sure that try this, make sure that the song is still playing, you know, it doesn't go from
no, it's not. Let me tell you about try this though.
Yeah, okay.
So we had a great time first night. He texted me, well, we had a great conversation for hours. I was going home super late, and he texted me the next morning, and then I get enough rest. I know he can't use his phone where he works, he's playing, and that makes sense. He's working on a Navy ship, so he just can't take his phone. But he'll text like at the lunch break, and so he said he wants to see me as much as possible before I travel back to L.A. I told him that I would come down to a dinner just last night, and I would see him. But I don't like going to Honolulu for just one thing. I have to do multiple things down there. So
right. There
was another friend, my other Hanai family lives in Waikiki, and they were moving, but she wasn't answering the phone. And he wasn't answering the phone, so I was on the fence about even going. And I finally decided to go to the dinner. And then he calls me on my way. He's like, I thought we made the arrangements for, you know, yesterday to meet up tonight. I'm, you know, prepared. I got off work late. I'm like, all right, cool. So that's like 6 o'clock. So I go to the dinner like at 8. I'm late, right? And I stay at dinner at 9:30. He sends me a text like, oh, that's cool. I couldn't even get a text to say you're not coming. Do you have a nice night?
Wow.
So then I had to call him back like, wait a minute. Did you not understand that I was going to an event prior to coming to see you and you're the last stop? Like, I'm not coming. You know, I was like, what the hell?
Wow.
He was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, I'm at a dinner for my organization right now. And he was like, oh, I thought you were just not going to come because you have to get up early in the morning and do the flea market. I was like, no, I'm a person of my word. If I say I'm coming, I'm coming. You just sit tight because, one, you don't have a car. Okay, so I'm coming to you. You sit tight.
Wow.
I'm the one driving an hour across the island. Sit tight.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in the middle of saying goodbye to people, and you're over here bitching already in a text message.
Right.
He was like, I'm very sorry about that. I just missed it. I thought you were just trying to. And then we had the conversation about ghosting. We had the conversation about being real with your personality and stop giving types to shadows. Just be who you are. So I did talk to him at 9:23. I said, I will text you when I am on, you know, in front of the door or down in the lobby in the valet. He said, okay. And he apologized again. Now, an hour later, it's like 10:20, I start calling him. Because I'm like 2 blocks from the hotel. He doesn't answer. Call again. Doesn't answer. So I called the hotel and had the hotel pass it through to his room. He answers his room phone. I said, hey, I'm downstairs. I've been downstairs for a minute. He was like, huh? I'm like, this is Michelle. I've been downstairs in the valet for a while. What's up with your phone?
Wow.
He was like, you downstairs? I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, okay. Okay. And I was like, okay. I said, are you okay? He just hung up.
Wow.
And then I waited 15 minutes, and I called the room back. He didn't answer his room phone. I called his cell phone. He had turned his cell phone off. I was like, wow.
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 Yeah, he called it a day. He got petty. He got called out, and he didn't like being called out. And I think he took it to heart. And what happens is, I think what happened in his case.
What call out did he get?
Well, the call out that he was sensitive, that he was being a little bitch about not waiting and being patient and about you saying, look, I'm going to get there. I got to handle things here. And, you know, he got a little sensitive about you not doing things on his watch, on his time, on when he expected. That's what it was, I think. I mean, think about how petty that was, that, okay, you had things going on that you explained, right? And here he is having a little hissy fit, and you had to put him in check, say, hey, listen, dude, you know, I got things I'm handling here, but I'm coming through. Well, he gets all, I'm sorry, but, you know, it hurts his feelings. And what does he do? Tit for tat. He goes ahead and it's like, well, okay, fuck that bitch. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just not going to ask her when she comes over. You know, I'm just going to, because she didn't do what I expected. So I think that's,
you know, I have a trigger about people not showing up when I make efforts to beat them. You know, that's how Blue got sucked the fuck out. I cannot stand that. I cannot stand that. Like, don't ever have me come to where you are and bring you something, bring you me, bring you my time, bring you my energy, and you don't fucking come to the door.
Yeah.
I had to have a whole conversation with my best friend driving home last night where I was just like, I'm so done. I am so done. No new people in the fold. I'm done.
Yeah.
I said, because the quality of human beings I'm meeting online are just not good humans.
I'm telling you, it's a fucking mess out there.
Yeah, like, why would you do that? And then my thing is like, and then I disclose to these people that I'm sick. And I always get this reaction like, oh, you know, who's taking care of you? I'm so fake, so concerned, you know?
Right.
And then they do the same shit they do to me. They do to the healthy-ass women.
Right. Right.
I can't run like I want to. I can't do things I want to. And for me to drive to see you is a huge sacrifice. I have no money. I just got my workers' comp cut on Friday. I had a panic attack and a freak out on Friday.
Mm.
Like, I'm living a life that is multifaceted with problems. And when I take my time and carve it out to do something with you because I feel like you are our alternative to me dealing with my life problem,
yeah,
and you turn out to be a problem, no. I don't need any more problems. I can't even handle any more problems.
No. I think people are not as considerate or as sympathetic as they claim to be. And that's the problem that we have, because I just think that in the dating world, man, it's so superficial and it's so deeply layered with misdirection and ulterior motives that you have to, tread lightly. And you have to take your time with people. And it's unfortunate because I understand the plight with women, especially if they're in career oriented or in situations where they're trying to have families and trying to have situations, that biological clock is real. And And that's something that, you know, it's hard. So it's hard to tell someone to say, hey, man, you got to take your time. You know, you got to take it easy and not rush into it. And, you know, and then with you, like I said, on top of the layer, you got the personal stuff going on with, you know, just your health. And people are fronting like they're really considerate and being understanding, and they're not. And like you said, they're playing that game. They're just adjusting or kind of creating it for customizing it for that person. So their angle, pineapples. But I think that's what happens is like they customize it. So a guy like Blue, he does it in a way where it caters to you, and then he plays you a certain way. Then he has the other girl that he's talking to, and he's giving her a whole different story and a whole different angle. And that's just the way, I mean, think about how deeply layered and how shady you have to be. But again, for guys, man, we don't get results being honest and upfront. Like, we just don't. I'm exhibit A of that. Like, I don't get results from saying, hey, you know what? Like, I'm not looking for a relationship. I just want to hang out, and that's that. You know, I'm not trying to call you or talk to you like that often. You know, I mean, people are not signing up for that because the illusion is that there's other people out there willing, ready, and able to provide what they want. And in reality, they don't. They don't, because it's all a big game. So you have to have the mental fortitude to break through or to stay the course with vetting someone out. And, you know, it's very hard when you have other things going on in your life, whether it's career, whether it's your health, whether it's family issues, you know, et cetera. Like, it's just hard. You just want to have somebody there in your corner, man, someone that looks out for you. But in this world, man, you just can't get that because people are just not being true. And it sucks because you're being upfront and honest to those people that you run into, right? Whether it's Try This, MLM, or Blue, and here they are, they're feeding you the shit. And the difference between you is that you see through it. You know, you see through it. And it's like, you know, don't play with me. You know, you're better off telling me to be, you're better off being straight up with me than to do that. But again, these guys, you know, get a lot of ass, or they get sex because they've been this way. So it's hard to tell someone to change your ways. Does that make sense? Like, it's hard to tell someone to, you know, just, okay, stop doing that because it's not right. Even though you're getting sex, and that's the way it is, man, you know.
Well, my thing is, when I meet the new guys who are, like, and I'm honest about things, and they're just honest, like, yeah, I'm just trying to have sex, I just, like, I'm like, good luck in your endeavors. Like, I'm not the one. I'm not going to be bad at you because that's your angle. I'm not going to be disrespect. I don't feel disrespectful. I don't feel real disrespected that you shared with me that that's really what you're about. Because I feel like you will find a woman eventually who will be cool with that.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know some hoes. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I know some whole ass women. Like, come on, they exist. And so you can get what you want by being honest. You don't need to manipulate. That's a cop-out. I think that maybe men feel somewhat, once they figure out women work, they feel it's the easier route,
right,
to get her to cling on to hope. And that hope will get, you know, her, you know, to let her guards down. And then he can get in his hands and then decide what he wants,
right,
to do.
Right.
But you gotta know when you're single what you want. You're either coming out of a relationship that you're trying to get over, or you're lonely, or you just did some self cleansing and some self perspective stuff. You've been alone and single and not lucky, and now you're ready to go back into the game. I mean, you know your truth angle when you're dating someone. You want a relationship that has sex. You don't want it to be love, because love scares you. So you're going to have to keep it superficial, sort of, to keep it deep enough to where you can make love but not be in love. You know what I'm saying? Like, you
right.
know your truth. I'm not saying articulate your truth to other people. I'm not saying always do that, because everyone don't deserve that. People are fucked up. But you know your truth as to why you're out there dating and interacting with opposite sex or the same sex. So my thing is, just live it. Live your truth and be consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's just tough. It's tough when you don't get the results. So, I guess we're just gonna. I agree with you, but I just think that the general population of both sexes has a certain conditioning with how they like to be spoken to, or that how they like to be courted in order to consummate or to go further in a connection with someone. And I think those things we are not able, the older people get it. Like I always tell you that before, that I think people that have been through marriages and have kids that already been there and they're divorced once or twice, you tend to find more people like us in that mindset that are very honest, very upfront, you know, that are unfiltered, that have no type of guilt in fully disclosing their agenda. You have those people out there, but they're at such a later stage in life as well. So, you know, that's what I've come to find out. You know, it's a big difference between talking to a girl that's 25 versus 32 versus 52, you know, and it's just very interesting to go through that, because the development of the maturity and the experiences, it's something that, and it seems like with men, it's not like that, because they kind of, once they're married, then they get divorced, but then they go back to their old ways. You know, they go back to the manipulation, because we know that it's like, not being upfront is not going to get you any results. It's not going to get you company. You feel me? Like, I've had many girls say, you know what, I can't deal with you because I don't know what I'm getting. You know, when I tell them, you know, I'm not going to commit to anything that, as far as long term or anything like that, they're not with that. They want to feel like there's something more tangible that can be achieved from this journey, because they feel they're wasting their time. And I understand that. But the one thing I always tell them is that you think you're getting it from all these other guys, I mean, they're lying to you. You know, they don't know what they want. Meaning that they know, or like you said, they do have an agenda, but they're not disclosing it. You know, they know where they're at, right? They're not disclosing that agenda, so they're going to put you through that slaughterhouse. I agree. That's the ugliness of it. And that's what it frustrates people like yourself, Easy, and myself, I just, like I said, I'm just going a whole different direction. Whereas people look at it as unethical, people look at it as, you know, whatever you want to label it, I don't care. But there's more honesty in that world than there is in the one that the general population is playing at. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to wrap this up, so I wanted to get some of your final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts are, I've decided to, well, the girls last night actually asked me if I was interested in going speed dating with them. I didn't even know that was a real thing. I saw it on TV, but I know it's real. I said, I go speed dating. That sounds like fun. But I don't thought this, no more internet people. It's just too many variables, and I'm just finding the quality is not there in terms of people, just people, you know? And the people that's in my life currently, I will keep them because they have been consistent and they're nice to me. I have 3 people on the bench and 2 people who are active. In terms of, I feel like we're equally pursuing each other.
Yeah. Well,
not pursuing. We're just equally entertaining each other. There you go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
not a pursuit.
Yeah. I think I will say this in your case, and I think if any women can get any help from this, I would say that one of the best ways to find men, and by expediting that process of vetting and finding out who they are, is through your social circles. Like if you have a friend that you go to church with and they've been around a guy for X amount of time, you know, it's been platonic, or they just know them through a mutual connection of a friendship, or their husband's friend, or whatever it is, right? If you can find people within your circles that another person can vouch for and say, okay, this is a good guy, then I think those people have a higher probability of being who they are. You know what I'm saying? Because it's very hard to, like, I've been, that was thrown at me a couple times where they were trying to set me up through the social circles. And I was like, no, you know, you're not going to do that. Like, I could hook myself up. I choose not to be in a relationship. I choose not to be with someone, okay? It's not because I can't go out and find someone. It's a big difference. I choose not to. But that was one of the ways that I realized through our talks, when you were telling me about how you connected with people, how you made friends with them, I was like, you know what? It makes sense, because you have a strong social network of people, of quality people that you know. And, you know, through those connections, I think that there could be somebody that they know. And they're like, you know what? Hey, this guy's a good guy. We know him. And you know what? You get along with Pineapple. So, you know, hey, why don't you guys just go out? You know, and they make the effort to kind of play, you know, what's that word I'm looking for? You know, play Cupid and be able to, you know, connect that way. Because you already know that person is good. Or somewhat good, all right? And because they already have the voucher.
But they're also accountable to the person who made themselves the middleman.
Exactly. I mean, It's like they're not just going to vouch for someone knowing that there's going to be ramifications if it doesn't go through. Does that make sense? So I like that element, like for someone like yourself to find someone through there, through those channels, because you know that you can expedite that process a little bit faster and not worry so much because they already have somewhat of a resume and references to kind of count from. Does that make sense? So I think just think along those lines as you go on your journey. But, yeah, the online world, man, it's a crazy fucking world, man, because you just don't know what you're going to get, and it sucks. And when you're having real people like yourself and like Easy and many other women going out there with genuine intentions, you're having these men that are just trying to score and are trying to keep as many people in their stable, and until they kind of get struck with Cupid, then they'll go ahead and move forward with that person. But and you know, they'll break many hearts along the way. So, you know, I've been part of that a long time ago. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I was part of that nonsense. And you know, when I got out of my marriage, I said, you know what, I'm not gonna do that. Like, my peace and tranquility is gonna be the main thing. It's gonna be the main priority. And I knew that it was going to be a detriment to my sexual life, meaning with dating and having women and, you know, all these things that people will peg you as doing as a single guy that takes care of himself and has all these things going on. Like, it's not that life for me. So I guess with us, man, we just got to keep on keeping on sharing notes. And I'm just wanted to just hope that you get into a better state as far as your environment, and when you're feeling good, girl. So I'm rooting for you, and I guess I can't wait to the next one. So this will be interesting.
Interesting.
Alrighty, so we're going to sign off on this, all right?
Okay.
All right, my dear.
Bye.